are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
And so it is time again for Tech Thursday right here on Eve Radio. And as always, welcoming Kane this afternoon. He's coming to us from some unknown but exotic location today, I believe.
Thanks so much for having me on. Always good to be back on another fabulous Tech Thursday. We're going to be talking about a lot of cool, exciting news that's happening at the moment. Very excited to get into it.
Yes, so I'm going to let you start today, Kane.
Oh, is it? Okay, awesome. Let me jump in here. We've got some exciting stuff. So I'll tell you what three things we're mainly looking at today, and then we'll get into the first one. So the three things we're looking at is Samsung has reclaimed the smartphone crown from Apple, selling more smartphones.
Mm.
Uber is to boost their safety measures in South Africa as accidents rise. And Facebook Marketplace has now hit over 1 billion users. How incredible is that? So starting off right at the top, Samsung has now sold more phones in this quarter than Apple has, claiming to up to 22% of the share of the market. Apple shipped about 52.4 million iPhones in January, while Samsung shipped 76.5 million smartphones to grab the crown. How crazy is that? Would you have thought Samsung is in the lead against Apple at the moment, Ian?
Most definitely not. I thought, you know, well, things are changing, but I thought, you know, that Apple is always leading, but apparently not.
No, and following close behind, China's Xiaomi clocked in best quarterly performance ever with 49 million phones and 14% of the market share. And what that really means is a China-based business is almost at the same amount of phones as Apple, which goes to show how much China plays a role in the global smartphone economy. It's very interesting.
Yeah, Apple, you got to get your stuff together, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I remember there was word around that they're working on a car. I think maybe their focus is on four wheels and not one phone, but
wow,
we don't know.
Could be. Valid point, there, Kane. Yeah.
And there's currently a shortage of critical components for smartphones, actually. And Apple said on Wednesday that the chip shortage could cost the company between $3 and $4 billion in revenue between April and June.
Sure. That's a lot of money.
Sure. Got it. I guess when you're building smartphones, it's not just about having a smartphone and selling it, especially when you're talking about 50, 60 million phones in, you know, 3 to 4 months. You kind of got to ask yourself the question, you know, do we have enough components to facilitate the supply and demand? And at the same time, what about our competitors? How hungry are they to acquire these components and these parts? And it's created a gigantic economy of mobile phones, which is being fought tooth and nail by some of the top smartphone production companies at the moment, which is very, very interesting. What phone do you have at the moment, Dion?
It's a Samsung, bro.
Hey! Yeah, I think with Samsung and Huawei and all of the competitors, it's a little bit tricky just to keep with Apple the whole time. Have you ever had an Apple phone?
You know what? I was so close to get an Apple phone, and then I just went with what was good, you know, to me and what was known to me at that stage, and that was a Samsung phone, because my previous phone and the one before that was also a Samsung, and I was like, nah, I want to carry on with Samsung. I don't know, Apple, I personally feel that Apple is incredibly overrated. I also had a chat with someone the other day, and we kind of said, you know, that Apple phones are almost like a fashion statement, and you know, you've got the Apple phone, and then a month or three later, that phone is no longer the latest one, and then people are like, oh, you still have that Apple, and look at my new Apple, you know? It's a bit overrated, actually.
A lot of people, I think the priority for smartphone manufacturers is probably one of the first sales that a person makes for their own smartphone, because I think it correlates a lot to the smartphone of choice to come for years. Because, you know, you said there that you had a Samsung prior, and that influenced your decision on not purchasing an Apple. And I think the same correlates for people who own Apple considering purchasing another phone. I think you'll find that these companies really care a lot about what phone you purchase first.
You're absolutely right. And we as humans also like to stick to what we know. You know, so it kind of gives us a bit of comfort in this chaotic world. So, yeah, that kind of definitely influences your decision. You're absolutely right, Kane.
Talking about some shallow waters, Uber is boosting their safety measures in South Africa as accidents rise. So Uber South Africa pledged to increase safety campaigns for food delivery drivers and review the insurance they provide following a recent expose about the mounting risks faced by drivers during the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is specifically correlating with safety, you know, to do with COVID and also just the sheer number of drivers on the road and what they're, you know. Sometimes I was actually driving with an Uber driver, and he said to me that after 12 hours, they kind of turn you off. You can't drive anymore. But let's be honest, driving for 12 hours is a long time to be doing on a daily basis. I mean, I'm sure accidents are happening between the 8th and the 12th hour more than the 1st and the 4th,
yeah,
for sure. Mm. And their figures obtained by the Thomson Reuters Foundation showed a 30% jump in road accidents involving food couriers in May and June last year as South Africa erased its lockdown and the numbers of drivers rose. So a correlation between people picking up Uber as a side hustle and actual increases in road-related accidents all playing a role. And it's going to be very interesting to see how Uber actually tackles such a dilemma, you know?
Yeah.
One driver reported feeling abandoned after he was hit by a car, broke his toe, and could not walk or work for 1 month after the accident. Uber told him he did not qualify for compensation and he was in hospital for less than 48 hours.
Sure.
So there's definitely a little bit of dirt being thrown here at Uber, and they have to make up a decision. Additionally, what's another factor which is putting pressure on it is migrants. About 70% of drivers are migrants, according to the Motorcycle Safety Institute, a local training and research organization, which is quite a lot, you know. 70% of drivers are not local drivers, which means that they could be using an international license, they could be using, you know, a vast number of methods in order to do the job, but it's all ending with slightly less safety on the road. And all backed up by Uber and the way that they manage their drivers. So it's going to be very interesting, I think, to see how they accommodate for such an issue. Because anything that Uber does, when they make one change, it affects 30 million people, you know, across the world. And if they make one change in South Africa, it'll probably affect about 10 million drivers or something. And that's a very difficult call to make one change to help all the people that need help while keeping all the people that are using your business already inside of your business. It's tough.
Very tough.
And if they have to increase their prices in order to help drivers more, that also correlates to issues because people who are taking lifts from Uber have to pay more. It leaves room for competition for other competitors to come into the space. We see Bolt and other initiatives also rising in popularity as they try and combat Uber's market share. Yeah, we must keep an eye on it and see how it progresses. Have you used Uber Eats before?
No. Do we have it here in our area, Kane?
No, unfortunately, we do not have it in the Garden Route area. I don't think George and Eisner or even Mossel Bay, I don't think, actually has Uber Eats or Uber for that matter. So we don't really get to see this. I think it's mainly the main city centers that are seeing this kind of pressure mounting.
Yeah. Well, when are we going to have an Uber and all that kind of stuff here?
Well, it's a very interesting question because for someone like Uber, they obviously got to have a few boxes checked if they're going to open support in a region. And, you know, if you're a driver and you see that Nasner doesn't support Uber, it's not like you're going to come check every 3 or 6 months, you know. It's going to kind of sit in your head that that's not a place that you can work.
Yeah.
So if they do open the region, how do they promote that information and get enough drivers there? And if you have to have Uber in your region and it takes you an hour to find a driver, well, then Uber's not delivering the service that they promised and all those complications. But Bolt did well in Nasner. I remember Bolt was here in George and Eisner, Plett region, even PE competing. Bolt, I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of Bolt. Are they still going here in our area?
They also had a few news-related issues to do with driver safety, and a few people got a bit in a bit of tough situations while taking lifts. in Bolts, taxis and things like that. But one thing that I can say for sure is Uber definitely does have things in place to best protect the driver and also the person taking the Lyft or utilizing the service. Because I remember listening to, it was pretty scary actually, I was taking a Lyft with a Bolt driver and they said he couldn't register on Uber because Uber, when they did the background check, they found that he had some sort of criminal record.
Oops.
But he doesn't know of any sort of criminal record. But what that does mean is no driver on the road can be a driver if they have a criminal record. No Uber driver exists with a criminal record, which is also a big up. It's a big benefit.
Yeah, most definitely.
Just shows that Uber is more focused on making sure that the driver is not a criminal or not malicious in any way before actually checking that the driver is capable of driving. I wonder how much systems they have in place inside of Uber that monitor these things. Because I always wonder, you know, if I'm getting a lift from A to B by an Uber driver and he breaks the speed limit the whole way, does that reflect badly on him? I don't know.
I'm sure it does, yeah.
That those will be some...
Because you know you're working with...
I hope it does. And if it does, sure.
You know you're working with... well, you know you're working with the rating systems, when it comes to Ubers, you know that you can rate the driver and all that stuff, right?
Yes. Yes, so you can give a driver a bad review. I actually once felt bad. I got a drive down from, I think it was PE to Nice, and I paid like R1,600 for the Uber.
Sure.
And then when I arrived, it happened. Like the Uber driver had done something wrong, according to Uber's system. So they refunded me the full amount for the trip. But I didn't know that the Uber driver did anything wrong. And I tried to contact Uber to give him his money back. And they said, that's not possible. So, I mean, it's a very tight world for drivers. I can see why that guy said he felt abandoned, you know, quote unquote. Because if something does go wrong, it's the user, not the driver, that they care the most about.
Yeah, absolutely. But I actually like the no-nonsense approach. I mean, because it is very, very scary to see on an app somebody's coming to pick you up and you can see a photo or so, but you have no idea who that is. And you can only hope he doesn't have a criminal record. So luckily they check all that stuff, you know, but you still never know where you're going to end up. It is just, it's quite scary, actually.
And what happens to an Uber driver that gives his mobile phone to another driver who isn't an Uber driver but is just using someone else's account? I mean, it's completely unavoidable.
Yeah.
And it's a very real problem.
Yeah, don't be too comfortable. Don't be too comfortable. That's the big thing.
Do we have a song break coming on or are we going into the next piece?
We're going to whelm right into the next piece, Kane.
So speaking about big corps and big accomplishments, Facebook Marketplace now has over 1 billion users. How insane is that?
I can believe it.
I mean, that's basically saying 1/7 of the world is using Facebook Marketplace, you know? Because Facebook was specifically targeting people who use sites like Gumtree and things like that, to give them a place that they could sell goods and services secondhand, firsthand, via ads, you know, so that person doesn't have to use Gumtree or OLX or any of those sort of things. And I think the initiative is obviously working because they just experienced this exponential growth. I think COVID has something to do with it as well. Everybody's starting to sell from their home. You know, everyone's a competitor to like take a lot and things like that, especially if you have your own Facebook Marketplace. You're getting your stuff from the same place Takealot does. I mean, you're in essence replacing the distributor role of Takealot, and all you need to do is register on Facebook Marketplace. I mean, you can't bounce those odds, you know. So Facebook says, beyond the billion users, Marketplace also has 1 million registered shops that see around 250 million users every month. That's a lot of virtual traffic.
Yeah.
That's a mall that has 250 people walking through it every month would be you would not be able to walk through the mall unless it was the size of an airport. And even then, 250 million people, that's almost 300 million people in a month. You're talking 10 million people a day. It's a lot of people all spending money on Facebook's Marketplace. I wonder how many businesses in the Garden Route, for example, have a marketplace on Facebook. And if any do, how well they do.
Yeah. Very, very interesting question that, Kane. I'm seeing, I saw this meme a couple of weeks ago of this guy driving around looking for Facebook Marketplace, but he can't find it. He's looking for the shop for Facebook Marketplace. No. I hope that's just a joke. Otherwise, we are so doomed.
If you've ever bought a secondhand item from Facebook, you've used Facebook's marketplace. You haven't necessarily used Facebook's marketplace if you click an ad and go, if you see an ad on Facebook for Takealot and you go and buy your item from Takealot, that's not a marketplace ad. That's when the sale is actually being facilitated by Facebook.
Yeah.
So that's just an interesting point to remind people who might be listening, trying to figure out the difference, you know? Mm. Is it running ads on Facebook? No. It's actually selling your items as if Facebook was your website that you sell things from.
Mm.
And I was thinking about Facebook the other day, and as an initiative back in 2001 or 5 or whenever they started, I mean, today's day and age, if you are a normal person and you maybe want to sell something, you're an individual, you go and you register a website, you build the website and you sell products from it. Or you go to the mall, you rent out a commercial space and you sell stuff from it. Facebook gave people the ability to create pages, and those pages are like websites. So Facebook was actually the first place that enabled people to kind of create their own website. A page dedicated to whatever they want on it, but it isn't on the internet, it's on Facebook. And that's how it all started. And you, when you put it in that perspective, you're like, okay, you can kind of see why it worked so well. Because the need for a website or a place on the internet that describes you or your business wouldn't have been something that was exponentially important back in 2000s. But now in today's day and light, you need that. And Facebook made the perfect timing to get that in. So any business that exists today should be on Facebook's marketplace, because it's facilitating you to earn more revenue. It's giving you the opportunity to get foot traffic that doesn't exist in a commercial store on your digital website. It's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people aren't even aware of it, Kane, so I'm so glad that you are telling them now.
Hey, yeah, no, especially if anybody has any questions or anything, feel free to shoot it on the WhatsApp line, because next week we can sit down and we can answer some of those questions. You know, there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt when moving your physical store or your business, or you're making an online business. And it's actually quite motivating when you realize how much someone like Facebook has put in place in order to make this process as easy as possible for you. And to get started on it is really taking the right steps, especially in this times with COVID and everything.
Yeah, but a lot of people still buying from Takealot, and I don't know if you know, but there's a new one called Every Shop. They're also investing millions now to become a significant e-commerce player in South Africa. They've got big, big future plans, including pickup lockers and in-store terminals. They actually launched just at the beginning of this month, on the 1st of April, and they're operated by the JD Group. They also have some big chains in the country. Isn't Hi-Fi Corp, I think, is one of them. One of the stores that they own.
Really? I didn't know that. I mean, when was the last time you went to an Incredible Connection? I mean, I can't actually remember.
No, but to be honest, it's too pricey.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you can buy something from the couch of your house and get it delivered to the front door of your house before you even left the house, and you can get it cheaper, and it includes delivery, it's very difficult to have a physical store today, especially as our courier ability gets better and better. I mean, in America, they have drone delivery for Amazon, so you don't even have a person delivering the stuff that you're buying.
Yo, that's unreal, actually. It's almost like a futuristic movie.
Someone could have literally filmed, like, a trip down New York in 5 years from now and release it 10 years ago, and people will think it's a movie based on, like,
I would.
Years in the future.
I would, yes. It would look unreal, and now it's actually happening. Wow. You just hope that the drone doesn't get into any accidents on the way to you and fly into a building or something. Hopefully they've got insurance for that.
Hopefully the self-driving drones don't burn for as long as Elon's self-driving cars.
Yeah. Oh man, you really cracked me up last week with that Tesla story and the swimming pool. I was listening to the clips again and I was just laughing again. It was absolutely hilarious. But yeah, every shop is taking on Takealot. They are officially competitors. And I'm just lastly, before you go, Kane, in your opinion, do you think our malls will be becoming ghost malls, as in all stores will start closing and moving online slowly but surely? Eventually, the malls will be just empty ghost towns?
That's a very good question. And being honest with myself about the answer, my prediction isn't necessarily a mall that's a ghost town, but it is going to be a location where you can acquire or receive services which you wouldn't be able to receive online. So restaurants and food delis and activity parks and all that sort of stuff will flourish. But stores and things like that, that is going to be where they will slowly be filtered out of existence. I think going to a mall in 5-10 years from now, you're going to have a lot more to do and a lot less to buy in the regard of a store. It might still exist somewhat because anyone at the mall might need a charger, you know, they might need a phone, they might need something that they want to go buy physically. But the reality of it is, I think you might start seeing stores like Takealot before you see another store that sells things that Takealot sells. Mm. Because what's happening in today's day and age is you have people, locals, who will go to a local business, window shop, and then go to an online store and purchase. I only see one benefit, and that's for someone like Takealot, who's still going to get the business at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Mm. So I don't see a lot of a future for you know, shops that are just selling things that you can buy online, because how are you going to get it to a store cheaper than a massive warehouse that has millions of the same things, you know, that are getting it in bulk from overseas? They're not paying a distributor fee, you know, there's no taxing down the whole supply chain as it moves from one person to another person. It's a very difficult, you know, conclusion to draw, but I do think we're going to see a lot less stores and a lot more restaurants, and maybe even some stores we're not even familiar with yet. You know, movie houses and things don't even do the same justice, but there will definitely be activity-based services and you know, consumption-based, restaurant-based, that kind of stuff, I think, will be far more predominant. Somewhere like Knysna, I think, will have a lot of restaurants but not a lot of shops.
Yeah.
Because you'll see that eventually someone like Takealot will be able to have a warehouse in the Garden Route area, and then what's going to happen to all the local stores when you can have same-day delivery? I mean, it's a very hard sell for a local business to tell someone, pay 500 Rand more, get it at the same time, get the same product.
Yeah, but I think all in all, COVID is helping this whole process along. It's kind of speeding it up, right?
The move into like online lifestyle.
Yes.
Definitely.
Mm.
Definitely. I mean, as the waves, as we get these waves of increased issues with COVID, we see correlation with how much people are doing online. Sometimes we see a little bit of a different story, especially with someone like Netflix. As we see COVID kind of going down into a less of an apparent issue, we see less and less people, you know, continuing their Netflix subscriptions and things like that. So it's a very tricky question to ask, because we would all assume that it's going to go completely online, everyone's going to exist online. But now, as soon as you start hearing about how people can move around again and how parties can start happening and all this sort of stuff, now people are all of a sudden cutful of the indoor lifestyle. They want to go outside. People who were always inside now don't even want to be inside anymore.
Yeah, but I think in the stores, you know, the stores we'll have left in the malls, all in all, will be probably managed by robots. Can you imagine a Karen going in to complain to a robot?
It's just gonna fall on deaf ears. Have you ever tried to sort out a problem you're having with your internet at home and you're speaking to call services agent? It doesn't go anywhere quick, you know.
Nope.
And it's this robot thing where if there is a robot that is dealing, you know, if you go to a store, let's say there's a Starbucks in Knysna and you go get a coffee every day, maybe you build up a relationship with the person who's selling you a coffee every single day. So they know what your coffee is and everything like that, and you interact with them on a personal level. Some of that can still be done with robots. So how much is actually not going to be available that you would experience talking face-to-face with a person? I mean, a robot would have eidetic memory. It would just never forget you. It would know every single thing you've ever done with it, and it will react upon accordingly. It's an unreal world. And the customer service would probably be extreme, but would people really be able to get over the fact that there is very little human interaction going on? Is that something that we're okay with, or is that something our future generation would grow to be okay with? It's just like so many questions.
Lastly, Kane, before we wrap Tech Thursday up for today, did you know Netflix launched a new feature? It's called Play Something.
I know. I think I know exactly what this feature would entail.
Okay.
You know, it just would it just be that I sit down at my Netflix, I'm like, I don't know what to watch, just put something on for me?
Yes. Oh, you're such a genius, you know.
What
that's,
a relief.
That's, I mean, exactly
that is
it.
Awesome, because I spend a whole movie just finding a movie.
Same. Totally the same, yeah. You know, and then
like
eventually
I stand up to go to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I stand up to go to the TV and pick the movie. By the time I've picked the movie and turned around, the whole couch is asleep.
Yes, and the other thing is, so now you go and sit down with some food. Maybe you got a takeaway, and you're sitting there, and you're looking for something to watch. By the time you find something, your food's long gone. That's my problem. That's terrible, actually. So, yes, you're absolutely right. And you know how it knows how to play something? It actually looks at its algorithm of stuff that you like, stuff similar to your taste, shows and films, and then it just picks one randomly.
They should have picked something better than Play Something, because it's kind of like a random draw, you know? It's like a lucky pick. But I think people will definitely use it. I mean, if I'm bored out of my mind and I want to watch something, I don't have the energy to pick something, I'm going to try it. And if I don't like it, I wonder if they'll have like, you know, skip this entirely, play something else. You know, like, you can't go to the next episode. You can just go to something completely different.
Yeah. That is interesting. Well, we'll see. Play Something is going to be rolled out globally on TV devices, and they say it will test it and roll it out to the mobile app soon as well. So look out for that new feature on Netflix called Play Something. And that's a wrap for Tech Thursday for this week. Looking forward to having you back in studio again next week, Kane.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be good. We're going to get back in the studio. We have lots of people that will be sending WhatsApps. I've got a lot of people that said they're going to get involved more in the WhatsApp line, and I'm sure everybody will. So maybe we have some fun on the WhatsApp line next week as well. Stick out, look out for that.
Awesome. In the meantime, have a lekker afternoon, and then we'll catch up again next week, Kane. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day, and to everyone else listening.
You too. Cheers, Kane.
Cheers. Bye.